interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Monday to you. And this is a Monday, July 22nd, live from Sunbelt Football Media Day edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we're kicking off live on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. And for the next 2.5 hours, joined in spirit by the famous Clint D from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. The Fun Belt gathers and a different vibe than in years past when I've been here, when it was all about teams coming, teams going. The field is intact. We've gotten through 1 year of the conference championship game in football. Billy Napier and the Cajuns played in it. So we've got some different topics this year. And if you're looking for drama, I'm going to suggest this isn't the place for it. Just more consistency and stability. And that is something I think the Sun Belt desperately was seeking during the transitional years into Carl Benson. And now there's a new commissioner of the Sun Belt. And that's my first big topic to lead off with today. So again, not really a day filled with a ton of drama, really a lot of intrigue. They're just talking football and more quality football. And the new commish is Keith Gill. Played his football at Duke, has spent time, a couple of different tours of duty with the NC2A at the internal office, and most recently was with the Atlantic 10. Had more of a basketball lean while with the A10, but also really had a lot to do with the student-athlete experience, a lot with inclusion, and then a ton with digital and TV broadcast strategy. So a very bright guy who's already begun to do some pretty interesting behind-the-scenes things when it comes to the Sun Belt. But big shoes to fill as our good friend Carl Benson stepped down just several months ago. March is when Keith Gill kind of took the baton and became the sixth commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference. So your storylines today from New Orleans: number one, new commish; number two, probably more important, probably more of what you'll care about on the football side of things, new coaches and new blood at four of the Sun Belt's footprint, outposts, I should say, within the footprint. And almost all of them are offensive guys. It starts with Chip Lindsey at Troy. Lindsey, who has had OC and quarterbacks coach tenures at Auburn, Arizona State, Kansas, and he's going to take over a program, I think we all understand, that maybe is traditionally known for what they do on the defensive side of the football. So Chip Lindsey is at Troy. You've got Jake Spavital at Texas State. Most recently, he was the OC quarterback coach at West Virginia. You've got Jamie Chadwell at Coastal Carolina, only the third head coach in the Chanticleers' history. He did take over a couple of years ago as the interim, you'll recall. But he's got an offensive lean. And then Eliah Drinkwitz at App State, most recently the offensive coordinator at NC State. You sense the theme, right? And even this time last year, Billy Napier coming over from Arizona State, spent time at Clemson and Alabama. He and Rob Sale kind of sharing a wavelength on the offensive side. So much of the Fun Belt continues to be driven on that side of the football, and this new influx of coaching, it's not going to change that. In fact, it's going to further that. And that's a topic I promise you we'll be exploring with all the coaches and players that join us today. Defensively, it takes a special mindset. You can't get too far down if, number one, you go too far down on the scoreboard, but you can't let giving up 28 points get to your psyche. It's just not the same thing as old school Big Ten football, even old school SEC football. It is the Fun Belt, and it's only going to be more high octane in 2019. Finally, my next big storyline I'll share with you in our opening segment: are the same powers angling toward the second annual conference championship game in football. Last year, we know it was UL representing the West. Billy Napier and company rattled off a 7-5 record during the regular season, only to lose to App State, which won a tiebreaker with Troy in the Eastern Division. I think there's been maybe a thought process that the East is a touch stronger than the West, right? With Troy, App State, Georgia Southern with a big bounce-back rebound season in 2018. And then on the West, I think the perception is there's a battle of the Cajuns and the Red Wolves of Arkansas State. And we'll see if ULM becomes something special. The Warhawks were supposed to be a fly in the ointment last year because they had a special quarterback returning, Caleb Evans. Well, Evans will be back this year for year three. Cajuns, on the other hand, expected to have a first-time starting quarterback, at least full-time, in Levi Lewis. And so we'll find out if the best of the West from last year remain, if there's going to be a challenger, and if it's still going to be kind of a two-and-a-half team race, if you will, in the East. Is it going to be App State, Troy, both with new head coaches because the guys that were there moved on to big-time Power 5 jobs? Or is there an opportunity for somebody else to slip in and play spoiler in early December of 2019? Something else to kind of keep in mind as we're really starting to talk scheduling. And, yeah, we'll get into a lot of that with our guest today. It's almost like a leap year, right? Once every 4 years, we just throw in that one extra for you to get to 366. Once every blue moon, you get the two bye week season. That will be the case across college football this year. And I know it sounds extremely quirky. You've got not one, but two Sun Belt teams that play opening weekend, and then they get a bye immediately. That's got to be infuriating. I don't know if I would like that. But Troy, for example, plays Campbell at home on August 31st. Then they're off immediately. Texas State will be at Texas A&M. That's actually a Thursday night game. August 29th, open the season, and then they're off. So you'll see some irregularities within the schedule. I promise you, we'll get to all of it. And we'll touch a lot of bases today. Baseball term, I know. But a lot of great football guests on the program. On the other side of our opening break, Matt Viator, head football coach of the ULM Warhawks. He's got a couple of local products expected to start this year. Rashad Harding from Cairncrow, Brandius Batiste from Welsh. We'll ask him about those young men and how they expect to improve on a 6-6 season from last fall. So Matt Viator on the other side of this break, and then we're all Cajuns for three straight segments. Billy Napier, who right now is talking to the masses on the podium. Coach Napier will join us at 4:30. Deuce Wallace will join the program at 4:45, a former STM Cougar, now a redshirt senior defensive back. At straight up 5 o'clock, redshirt senior wideout Jared Jackson. At 5:30, our good friend Adam Hunsucker of the Monroe News Star. And then that new commish we talked about, I'm telling you, this man is sharp, Keith Gill, joins B2BS at 6:15. Big show today at Sunbelt Conference Media Day. And we're brought to you in part by Pete's on Johnston. Gentlemen, and ladies for that matter, they are taking your reservations for fantasy football draft parties. Trust me, I've done them there before. They are fantastic, and this year, they're sweetening the pot a little bit. Okay, maybe even a lot. They're going to add on a $5 Uber credit for you. So go there, get home safe, and just go book right now. PetesLafayette.com/fantasy. We'll be right back in. Matt Viator on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Live from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome and Sunbelt Football Media Day on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Little technical difficulties at the moment. We're going to try and get Ben Love back. Kind of having a little technical difficulties. Hashtag, let's see, as unexpected right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. He's out in New Orleans. I'm here live inside the 237 Roof Studios. I know we're waiting patiently for Matt Viator, the interview with the ULM Warhawks head coach. A lot of local players, and obviously the big rivalry between these two has definitely started to brew just a little bit more as the years have progressed, and especially now that we're seeing ULM compete on that same level. A tough loss against the Louisiana Raging Cajuns to end the 2019 campaign. While we're kind of also waiting for him, some news has come out over the last couple hours involving some former players and some current LSU players, namely Grant Delpit and four LSU linebackers. While we're waiting once again to see if we can get Ben Love back online, LSU defensive back Grant Delpit named to the Jim Thorpe Award watch list. This is the second preseason award list he has been a part of, and he was named earlier today to that. The Thorpe Award obviously is presented to the best defensive back in college football, and I have to say he is rated as such the number one defensive back heading into the 2019 season by USA Today. And then looking over at the Butkus Award watch list, four, count them four, LSU Tigers were named to that watch list, and that's Kalavon Chaisson, Patrick Queen, Michael Divinity, and Jacob Phillips. This is the award that Devin White won last year, so it's not too surprised that we see four, count them four, LSU linebackers, the most of any school in the entire nation. They've been named to the Butkus Award watch list. This, again, came out earlier today. Definitely something just to keep an eye on going forward when it comes to these preseason award watch lists, to start seeing more and more linebackers from LSU make it. Of course, LSU is DBU. I'm surprised we didn't see more than just Delpit. Again, I think maybe people aren't going to wind up giving Derek Stingley Jr., put him on this watch list as a freshman so they see what he can wind up bringing to the table. Delpit, obviously, he has a lot of preseason hype as being the guy defensively. Hopefully, he can live up to that hype heading into, more likely than not, his final season with the LSU Tigers. And again, currently, we're efforting, and you know, it's a made-up word, but trust me, it is all too real sometimes when you're dealing with a remote. The Ethernet might necessarily work out the way you want it to, but hey, it is what it is. We're currently waiting to see if Ben Love is back on the line. Obviously, we're just waiting on that. Hey, there he is.
Hey, Clint. What's up, buddy?
Not much, man. Not much. We were just waiting for you and Matt Vietor, ULM head coach of the Warhawks.
Yeah, well, conversation was too good off the air, so they had to turn us off. Back in to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Coach, thanks for waiting through a little bit of troubleshooting there. It's been a fun day, and this continues to be an event that grows, I think, in Spectre. Would you agree?
I agree. I thought it was very well run, and seemed like there's a lot of people here today.
I'll ask you this. Coming off a 6-6 season, a group that returns a starting quarterback in Caleb Evans, some of the things that give you the most optimism heading into fall camp.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I like our team going in, and you know, we have a bunch of guys back from last year's football team, and including the quarterback. So, I mean, but it's going to boil down to you know, staying healthy enough to compete, and you know, it's hopefully we can be back in position like we were last year, and you know, a couple plays here and there, and you know, could accomplish what we were trying to, I guess. But hopefully, we can be back in that conversation.
What are some of the things this offseason that have been an area of emphasis for Caleb? And it's his third year as a starter, so the areas where you want to see him continue to improve.
Well, we turned the ball over more last year than what we did the year before, and that's a concern of ours. And we basically talked to him. We were really so explosive the year before offensively that I think, you know, early on in the season, I mean, really tried to do some things that weren't necessarily there. And but he's a great young man, and, you know, we've talked to him about, I always use the analogy from golf, and you know, make more, you know, make the pars, and you know, so take what the defense gives you, and that's the kind of stuff we've been working on, and hopefully, you know, he can improve in that area.
Matt Vietor, the ULM Warhawks, our guest, as we're live from Radio Row. The numbers around us are dwindling, right? It's just us and people from right down the road where you're at in North Louisiana. Yeah. I'll ask you about your defense next. A 4-2-5. I guess some of the leaders that return for that group.
Donald Lewis, who's here with us at Media Days, one of the, you know, this will be his fourth year to start. Chase Day is one of our starting linebackers, will be his fourth year to start. So, you know, we have some kids there that have been here a while, and, you know, and they'll have to get a little bit better than, but I actually felt like last year we played good enough defense the last six games to win each of the games. And, you know, I keep preaching, we keep talking about it as a staff and preaching our players. I don't see anybody shutting out anybody in the league, but, you know, it doesn't happen very often, but if you can play good enough defense and get some stops here and there and maybe force people to a field goal rather than a touchdown, get a couple turnovers here and there, and that's what we were able to do the last six games of the year. And we lost the last two, But I felt like we played good enough defensively. We just didn't play good enough offensively in the last two games to win.
So glad you said that. I think one of the biggest themes here is, I mean, just with every new head coaching hire in this conference, it seems to be an offensive lean. How much, if at all, does that affect the way that you game plan going into a ball game?
Well, not really. I think each week is different in the way you look at it. But, however, you know, just the 3 years that I've spent in the league, and I mean, people score points, and that's just – you know, it's going to happen, and it's happened every week, and it happens every week across the landscape of the Sun Belt when you look at it. But I think, you know, the emphasis is the reason I think we played good enough defense. And, you know, you may get questioned or whatever. We lost to Arkansas State by whatever. We lost to UL by whatever. But if you look at it, I felt like we played good enough defensively against two good offensive football teams to win the game. We just didn't do enough on offense. So I think you got to do enough to win the game, you know, from a defensive standpoint. And, you know, it's critical. And, you know, you look at our victory over Georgia Southern. You know, they had two good drives to start the game, and they got two field goals out of the deal. And, you know, we scored a few times. The next thing you know, we're up three or four touchdowns. But I thought it was big in the game that we held on the field goal. So I think that's important. And, like I said, just play good enough defense week in and week out to give yourself a chance to win.
For our listeners, say a couple of big non-conference home games coming to JPS Field at Malone Stadium. Grambling and Memphis are home. At Florida State, at Iowa State on the road. But we were talking in the break, and you know, well, we probably should have been on, but the internet said not for a little while, guys. Two bye weeks this year. Yeah. How does that maybe help, especially with the way that the ULM schedule goes, school schedule throughout the year?
I hope it helps. And you and I were talking you know, while we were off. I like an earlier open date. You know, now in the sense that summer school runs into August camp, really, so there's not a lot of break for a lot of kids. So we have an opportunity this year to play two games that didn't have an open week. So catch your breath, you know, maybe let everybody go home for a day or two, come back. And so I like that. And then this coming year, I mean, this year, 2019, having a second open date. Last year, I think UL had the same thing, had an early open date and played straight through.
That's it.
Well, we did too. And, you know, it would have been nice to maybe catch our breath in one of those weeks and maybe get a couple kids back that we need, you know, during that stretch and stuff. So I'm hoping it'll help us out.
Coming down the stretch with Matt Viator on 103.7 The Game. A couple of local products from Southwest Louisiana going to be playing and starting for your group this year. I'll let you tell our listeners about a young man from Carancro on the defensive side and then Welsh High School on the offensive side.
Yeah, Rashad Harding is, you know, ever since he's been at ULM, he's done a great job. And he started and has been a very, very productive player, but not only on the field, he's been very good off the field. He just – really nice young man that has really done good for us. Brandius Batiste was in our original signing class that came in. He's a wide receiver from Welsh, and he'll get his opportunity this year. And he's been a backup player and has played some, but he'll get an opportunity this year probably to start and get a chance to be productive.
November 30, it's the regular season finale. This year it will be the Warhawks at the Cajuns. Nothing changes with that rivalry, right? It's just two teams that are in state, love to play each other, love to try and beat each other, and oftentimes the weather's not great.
That's a good point. And, you know, hopefully, I mean, 2 years ago, you know, we beat the Cajuns in an overtime game that was very close. Just last year, we line up for a field goal at the end, you know, the last play of the game to tie it. So I'm hoping that ULM can continue to do their part, because if you look at it through the years, when I got there, I forgot how many games we lost in a row to the Cajuns. And, you know, rivalry takes two. You know, it takes competitive games and games that come down to the last, you know, like the last 2 years have. And so hopefully, you know, our goal at ULM is to continue to have us in that position to make the game special, because it should be. You know, it's the last game of the year. It's an in-state game. It's played on rivalry weekend. And, you know, like I said, our goal is, and my job is to make sure those games, you know, and hopefully this last year there was so much riding on the game, you know, for both of us. And I'm hoping that we can get ourselves – I'm pretty sure the Cajuns will be, and I'm hoping we can get ourselves back in position to where that game in Lafayette means what it meant this past season for both of us.
Looking forward to that. Hope so as well. As I mentioned, November 30 is that game. If we don't see between now and then – hope your guys stay healthy and good luck this year.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Matt Viator. Hey, he's riding the storm out, right? The internet storm. We figured it out. We came to you. Now we got to hit a break. On the other side, Billy Napier, head coach of the Raging Cajuns. Then Deuce Wallace, 4:45. Jared Jackson at 5 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Sunbelt Football Media Day on 103.7 The Game.
gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports. But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
34 minutes after 4 o'clock, right back into the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're back live. It's an annual event at Sunbelt Football Media Day on 103.7 The Game. Any moment now, I promise you, because they promised me, Billy Napier will be here. Looking forward to a conversation with Raging Cajun's football head coach, Billy Napier. And again, this one's structured a lot differently than SEC Media Days, plural, where 14 teams go in 4 days. This one is a lot different. Yeah, the number of teams certainly is part of it, right? You've got five teams in the East, five teams in the West, 10 total, and they cram them all into 1 day. And Billy was actually the last to go at the main stage and the podium. Coach Napier was there at 4 o'clock, so he's just wrapping up now. Actually, he's in he's within earshot. I know he hears me, but it's okay. He's speaking with a couple of his players right now, and it looks like their family that have made the trip to New Orleans. What's cool about events like this is you get to include, everybody hopes that you bring your high-profile players, right, your team leaders, and certainly that's happening here. But Napier very clearly rewarding a couple of redshirt seniors and guys that have been with this program for quite some time. One of them, in fact, who hails from the area, and then one that hails from our Acadiana area. Of course, Deuce Wallace, a former STM Cougar, a redshirt senior that found his way into the program and got a scholarship after last year, the 2018's Vermilion and White spring game. But the other young man that is here representing, Jared Jackson, yeah, a little bit closer to home here in New Orleans. He's a 6-foot wide receiver from East St. John High School in nearby Reserve, Louisiana. So looks like right now Coach Napier and company taking time to hang out with a couple of their players. If everything goes according to schedule, for the next 40 minutes, we'll be painting B2BS Vermilion and White. We're scheduled to have Billy Napier, Deuce Wallace to finish up this hour, Jared Jackson to begin our 5 o'clock hour, Adam Huntsucker of the Monroe News Star at 5:30, and Keith Gill, new commissioner of the Fun Belt at 6:15. So you're just joining us. You got a little bit of a flavor there from Matt Viator. 2 bye weeks this year. Continues to be a big talking point. Year 2 of the conference championships, it's still going to be played at the division winner with the best record, but there is some conversation in the background about potentially making that a neutral site game. I don't know that that happens anytime in the near future. I promise it is a question that I will ask Keith Gill, commissioner of the Sun Belt, when we chat at 6:15. And then from there, it kind of starts to dovetail off into basketball a little bit. Still so much, even at Football Media Day, to be determined about where they're going to be playing each specific round once you get to the conference tournament for the men and the women. So just a few of the topics that we'll be tackling here in New Orleans. And so we'll see if we can get a – here we go. Walking over in this direction. Guy found a cookie. I get that. I try not to eat on the air all the time. I do drink on the air occasionally, but usually just the water, the Diet Coke. This guy's been doing it all day long. So Billy Napier coming to join us live on Radio Row. Coach, I appreciate the time here. How was the run at the podium?
You know, we appreciate the people that stuck around. Certainly being in that 4 o'clock slot, you know, going last is a little bit different. Went first last year.
That's right.
But, no, it's been a great day, man. I think we've got a great challenge in front of us, you know, a new team, new players, new staff, new set of problems, and certainly new set of challenges. And I'm excited, man. I like the football team that we've got coming back, and certainly we've added a few new pieces here or there. But year two, I think everybody's better at their job, and I think we'll play better ball. We certainly have a little bit different schedule than we have had in the past. But if you're a competitor, you want it that way. So we look forward to it.
We're about to flip over into the month of August. How much of you is, man, we need the time to get better, to get ready, and how much of you is saying, can't we just put it on a tee? I mean, here a couple of stones throws where we are and play ball.
Well, you know, I think there's lots of work to be done. Some of the more pivotal moments in your team are during training camp, you know, because it's really your first time with the entire staff and the coaches to go along with the players. You know, these guys train for 2 months in the summer, but we're limited in terms of what we can do with them. We take a break. We go on vacation. So training camp is an important time to kind of develop your personality, the identity of your team, certainly kind of set some guidelines and some expectations in terms of what you want from an effort standpoint, how to practice, how to prepare, how to recover, how to be a get to know your teammate throughout that time. So we look forward to it. We've got a good plan in place. And again, I think we've hired some exceptional people, and we'll continue to let them work really hard at what they do and, you know, keep recruiting and evaluating. And I think you'll see a better team.
Billy Napier, our guest on 103.7 The Game. Entering year two, year one, a pretty big success, though. 5-2 in the division. Is there such a thing as a gut check moment that happens within a season? And did you have one last year?
Well, you know, I think there were lots of moments in last year where I think we're turning points. I think the big thing for us is the first comparison game we had was when we played App State on the road in the regular season. The year before, I don't know that it was a very close game. So we went in there and competed, kind of went toe-to-toe with them. I think our players left that game feeling like, hey, we are a little bit different. The work has been paying off. Maybe these guys do know what they're talking about, you know, to some degree. But we had a little bit different look in our eye from that point forward, you know, and then we were able to pull off the Arkansas State deal. And then, you know, we created a little bit of momentum and confidence, and we started to practice and prepare with a little more detail, a little more urgency. And I think we found a way to win some close games down the stretch. And certainly, you know, when you're in those moments, man, you don't think much about it. But it was a lot of fun, I'll tell you that much. And I think we've got a great team. There's great morale in the building. And I look forward to the challenges that come with this year.
I'm interested in your take on the new DNA as far as coaches that's been injected into this league. And I spent a little bit of time before my program with Chip Lindsey, and he said, yeah, he tried to recruit one of his guys pretty heavily when he was a high school coach in the state of Georgia. And he said, certainly, you know, I'm familiar with what happened in Tempe. Billy came in after me. So what he and some of these other men bring into this conference?
Well, we got four new head coaches. Some unique stories, you know, in terms of – Chip Lindsey and Eli are both former high school coaches that have made a pretty quick transition up the tree, and I'm happy for both of them. Tremendous amount of respect for both of them. Certainly, Spavital is a well-documented guy. He's worked with some really good offensive coaches. He's moved the ball on a consistent basis and basically hired the entire defensive staff from Texas Tech. So they've got a good group, and then Jamie out at Coastal, you know, he was the interim coach just a couple years ago, so there's some familiarity there. But that's the cool thing about this league, I think, is there's going to be some attrition and movement, and you got to adjust, adapt, evolve. We certainly have spent an extensive amount of time on all the opponents in our summer scouting reports. Sometimes we're watching West Virginia tape and Georgia Tech tape and Boise State tape or whatever the case may be, so we're going to track down their history and really basically flip over every rock and try to get our players in the best position possible.
Now, this won't be the sexiest topic for a lot of our listeners, but I know that you've put a huge emphasis on your staff. And I'm not just talking about the assistant coaches and the coordinators, but everybody else. Just how many eyeballs do you have on all these angles that you just talked about, even going back and looking at tape from coaches at previous stops? I mean, do you feel like you're ahead of the curve with this program and this conference doing that?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think it allows you to be more detailed, more thorough in your approach. You give ownership to a lot of people. You create energy. You create morale. I think it's a better quality of life for each assistant coach when they have someone that's kind of their helper. They're able to delegate. I think we're able to produce and develop young coaches. And I think that there's a gap there between maybe some of our assistants and the players. And I think young people in the building help us kind of bridge that gap. You know, this is pretty well documented doing it this way. We just don't have Butch Jones hanging out. We got, you know, Ryan O'Hara as our quarterback quality control, not the former head coach of the Tennessee Vols. So it used to be that way. You know, when I first went to Alabama, I was one of those guys, and I was just a 30-year-old.
You were Ryan O'Hara.
Yeah, I was a fired offensive coordinator that was 30 years old. And some of those guys that I met while I was there were GAs, QCs. We become great friends. Rob Sell was one of those guys. Mark Hockey, our strength coach, was one of those guys. So, you know, I think it's a great way of doing it. I certainly appreciate having the ability to have more balance because we're able to delegate and spread out the duties and not necessarily do everything that goes with being maybe at this level of football. So we do it at a cost-efficient, low-budget way, and there's so many people that want to get into college football now, I think you can do it that way.
We're finishing up with Raging Cajuns head coach Billy Napier. So many irons in the fire with recruiting all the time. Give our listeners an idea of what in-season is like for you, the ability, when you can, and you're playing at home, to get out, maybe see kids on the weekend when they come to you. Right. What's it like?
No, it's an important time of year. I think, you know, you're probably – for 2 years in a row here, we're probably about 65% of the way done, you know, going into the season. So constant communication with your commitments, you know, the consistent phone call, having the discipline to do that each and every week, certainly having you know, you text back and forth with these kids on a consistent basis, and then communicating with everybody around the kid, the coach, the parents, the family. You know, I enjoy getting out and going to games. You know, last year I went to a couple different games and watched some players play when I had an opportunity on Fridays when we were off. I'd certainly plan to continue to do that. So I think it's an important time of the year, and certainly when you're trying to evaluate players, it's great to see them compete on Friday nights in the state.
I promised I wouldn't ask about the transfer portal. So we made it to the whole interview. We didn't do that, but it's good to catch up, Coach. I know you got places to be. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate you covering our team, man. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. And that's Billy Napier. We'll be right back. Deuce Wallace when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on 103.7 The Game.
Delta Home Center and Delta Trailer Sales, your one-stop shop for mobile homes, modular homes, turfs and portable buildings, decks, porches, fences, carports, site-built metal shops, utility trailers, and cargo trailers. Located at Exit 7 in Karen Crow or at DeltaHomeCenter.com.
103.7 The Game is Acadiana Sports Station, and we go wherever you go with the free 103.7 The Game mobile app.
The app has me connected all the time.
Catch the live stream anytime or listen on demand to all of your favorite live and local shows.
Download the app.
The 103.7 The Game mobile app keeps you connected to all our blocks and the Clubhouse Rewards Club, where you can win spectacular prizes.
Play clock at 2.
Download the free 103.7 The Game mobile app today. Presented by Visit Avery Island. This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Yeah, that liner would play. Our next guest, he's not going to protect your quarterback either. He's trying to pick him off. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. We are live from 2019 Sunbelt Football Media Day. And our next guest prepped at St. Thomas More Catholic High School in Lafayette, now a redshirt senior DB for the Raging Cajuns, Deuce Wallace. Deuce, how's it going today?
Going well, man. Thank you for having me.
You know, it's a pleasure. Let's go back to the prep days a little bit. We were talking off air. Your quarterback while at STM was?
William Bellamy.
He's still doing it, you know.
Oh, yeah. I saw a video of him yesterday.
Doing it at a pretty high level up in the Northeast. Take our listeners that either haven't seen it or they need to be refreshed through being awarded a scholarship after the spring game. I know that was in 2018, but What was that moment like for you and your family?
I mean, it was awesome. You know, I tell people all the time, it's been a really long process. You know, being on scout team for 3 years, you know, at times you feel like you're ready. But just because you think you're ready doesn't mean that the coaches think you're ready, you know. So I just needed a little more grooming. And those are tough times, though, because usually, you know, you put in all the hard work, you feel like your work is in vain when you're not getting any, you know, I wouldn't say credit, but, you know, it's recognition at some point. But to be able to be awarded a scholarship, man, that meant the world to me. You know, that just confirmed that, you know, my work did mean something. It did pay off finally.
Your first full year as a scholarship player under Ron Roberts, his first year obviously with the program. How would you describe his style of defense and then his style of coaching?
Well, I'll go with the style of coaching first. It's aggressive. It's intense, you know. It makes you sit on the edge of your seat, you know. But if you're not wired the right way as a defensive player, it might scare you a little bit, you know. You have to be wired differently to play on his defense. And I think that'll show this coming season, because last year I think we barely scratched the surface.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that. Deuce Wallace, our guest on 103.7 The Game, how was it just that last year, and you can almost feel that there's going to be more coming this year?
Because last year, like I've been saying all day, we were learning from week to week, you know. We had to install a whole defense, you know, in a spring, summer, which is not enough time. But we used last season, the 2018 season, as basically practice, you know. So now we've got 14 games under our belt going into year two, the same defense, same schemes. You know, we just, I think, loaded up our defense even more.
Describe your role in this defense. What do you do? Not just the productivity. Last year was 40 total tackles and interception, but where all can the fans expect to see you line up, and where are they going to see you make plays?
I think they can expect still at the high safety, but I think they can expect me in the box a little more this year.
You like that part of your game?
I love that part. I love that part.
How much have you got to play at that level at St. Thomas More? Maybe a little bit of a fusion linebacker?
Not much.
Okay.
I play maybe, I probably count number of snaps on one hand, snaps of defense I played at St. Thomas More. My focus was running back.
Who is your least favorite running back to see come through the hole and you got to square him up on your team? Which one of those really good backs?
I'm not going to name any of them because I don't want them to think that I fear any of them, you know.
That's a good play right
but
there.
But I can say this. They're all tough to tackle. That's how talented they are. I can say that.
We talk about that a lot in the media. We say, hey, this has got to be one of the best running back rooms in the Sun Belt, maybe even the group of five. Is that just lip service, or you see that every
no,
day?
No, you said it best. We have one of the best running back rooms, every single one of them in that room, from Trey Regis, Eli Mitchell, Raymond Kiley, T.J. Wisham, Ashton Johnson, Chris Smith, to all the walk-ons. It's just – it's a vibe that they all carry, you know?
We've got a few more minutes here with Deuce Wallace. We are live inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Tell me about your fellow DBs, the guys that you got to play with last year that are returning, and then maybe some of the young ones that are starting to make an impression.
Yeah, man, we have a lot of guys actually coming back, which is even fun, you know? Not only coming back to the same defense, you get to come back with the same guys that you play with, the same guys you made mistakes with. You guys are both learning from the same mistakes, you know? Again, we got veteran guys like Tariq Miller coming back. You got guys that had limited action last year for whatever reason. Doesn't even matter, but Braylon Trahan. And now he's back in a big role. You have guys like Cam Solomon who's back. You know, it's really exciting. You have even guys stepping up from the walk-on like Cam Podesklo, who showed a lot of improvement this past spring. And then you can go to the corner position. You have Mike Jaquette, who I still find impressive that he came from receiver, you know, and assumed a big cornerback role. Eric Guerra played as a freshman, did very well. Excited to get him back. That was one guy that came in very mature, you know. We have Kamar Greenhouse stepping up. We have a couple more freshman corners. Bobby Holmes, Amir McDaniel, guys that just can flat out play and just ready to compete. So I think we have a hefty group in the back end that's excited for this season.
Deuce, having played this game and then covered it even longer, I know what these next, say, 3 to 4 weeks are about. It's all about us. How do we get better? But is there certain parts of you that is looking ahead to Mississippi State and saying, I want that, and what is it that excites you about that game once you start to turn your attention toward them?
It excites me because that's a team that beat us pretty bad. They left us with a black eye last year. And not too many times do you get to play a team like that again the very next season, much less open up with them in the Superdome, you know. And that's fun to have. And we're going to meet him at a time where we have our players back healthy. You know, we missed Percy Butler last year. And even when he came back, he wasn't the same Percy Butler that, you know, you're going to see him as being this year. That was a guy who played an entire season with a hurt shoulder and produced, which is kind of scary. Yeah. So to have him back healthy, we're just excited, man.
How many family members have already hit you up for tickets for that game?
Honestly, not that many, you know, because I think they understand you can't just come out the woodworks when a big game is coming up, you know. But I appreciate them for not asking.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Look forward to being back here. Let's see. It's July 22nd, so I don't know, about 6 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Deuce, this was fun, too. Thank you, man.
Absolutely. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And good luck on your season.
Thank you.
That's Deuce Wallace, former STM Cougar, a UL Raging Cajun, and going to be a returning starter for that secondary. All right, CD, about to run out of real estate. Let's get down to one final word in this hour.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Downside. About the only downside today that we've learned, starting center Cole Prudhomme injured. Don't really know for how long, don't really know what, but Coach Billy Napier did make that announcement earlier this morning, and so there will have to be a next-man-up mentality on the interior of the Cajuns' offensive line. A lot of upside, right? And like Deuce Wallace just said, a lot of healthy players, a lot to look forward to. If there were one downside, that would be it. And that's the final word of this hour. It's brought to you by the Village Station, your final stop to fill up your stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We got Jerry Jackson coming up in about 4 minutes, so don't go anywhere. We'll be talking with the Cajuns wideout when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crowe Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports back live at the 2019 Sunbelt Football Media Day on 103.7 The Game. Our next guest, he doesn't need a ton of introduction, but he does need to be called by his proper name. Bam Jackson, our guest wide receiver for the Raging Cajuns. He said, dude, you call me Jared. There's only going to be about one or two people in this world who know who you're talking to. But we got it right now. Bam, it's great to have you here. How's the day been?
Thank you. The day has been fun, man. I'm having a blast out here.
Tell me a little bit about it. You go shuffle around, the radio, the TV, everybody. What's it been like?
Man, I couldn't even tell you how many interviews I've done today. My head is just spinning. Oh, Bam, we need you to come do this. Oh, Bam, you're up over here. Oh, Bam, you got to do this. I'm like, okay, whatever you need me to do, I'm going to do it.
How would you describe your path at UL and getting to where you are now, a redshirt senior, a leader on this team? You're representing them here at Media Day. Take us from when you started till today.
When I first came in, you know, I was, you know, big eye freshman, had dreams of starting as a true freshman, playing. You know, things kind of got derailed when I got hurt my freshman year. But, you know, when I came back and I finally got back to my old self, you know, I had a couple of ups and downs. But, you know, going through all of that early in my career to now, it was totally worth it. I wouldn't want it any other way, because it molded me into what I am today.
And a season ago, 19 receptions, 325 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Bam Jackson, our guest on 103.7 The Game. How do you feel like you're going to be better this year?
I feel like I'm a better route runner now. And, you know, by this being my second go-around in the offense, you know, I know it. I know it more than I knew it last year. So by me knowing more of the offense, I'm able to play a whole lot faster. And, you know, I've been working on my speed and my strength. So that'll help me elevate my game.
Do you like having a head coach who's so intimately involved with the offense? And if so, why?
Yeah, I love it because, you know, it's not too many times that you have a head coach as your offensive coordinator. So, you know, by him personally calling our plays, I could go ask him, hey, coach, what is this? How do I, you know, what do you need me to do for this play? And, you know, like having information like that come from your head coach is is somewhat of a special value.
How special can this receiving core be this year? And give a shout out to some of the guys you know that'll be lining up next to you.
We got a chance to be one of the best in the conference, if not the best in the conference. You know, guys like myself, Jamarcus, Khalif, Brian, Jamal Bell, and some of the other guys. Caleb Carter, if he gets a chance to play, he got burners too. You know, all of us in that receiver room, we work. You know, we put in work together. Oh, and Devin Pauley and Pat Hughes and Deron Williams. You know, all of us work. We work every day. After every workout, we catch jugs. After OTAs in the summer, we catch jugs. And, you know, all of us are unselfish. We don't worry about our touches. You know, the only time we worry about touches is when we're trying to help. If they're shutting our running game down, we're like, hey, coach, you need to throw the ball to help get our running backs out. You know,
and they listen.
So, you know, it's,
wow.
You know, we just ready to blow. We're ready to blow up this year.
And what about Coach Leger? What's it like going under his tutelage? I don't mind telling you, occasionally I work out at the same place as him and his wife. That man gets after it. I'm serious. At his age, he gets after it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he get after us sometimes too in the film room. But that dude, like his attention to detail, just about the smallest thing that the viewer on TV wouldn't understand, but he gets on us about like small things, just from stance and start being sloppy in practice. He'll get mad, and that'll be our whole focus for the whole next day of practice. So he gets after us too at practice and in the film room. You know, he's, for the most part, he's always intense. He jokes, but when it's business time, that dude is all business for the most part.
Cajun's wide receiver Bam Jackson with us for another moment or two on 103.7 The Game. I know that you prepped at East St. John. Did you grow up in reserve?
I'm from La Place.
Okay.
So I've been trying to get my nameplate changed since my freshman year, but they never changed it. But I'm really from La Place. Other people pronounce it as La Place, but I don't say it like that.
I'm from Baton Rouge, so I'm going to take your word for it. It's La Place, then you go a little bit further, and you're where we are right now in New Orleans. What does this city mean to you? Coming back, you're doing something really cool right now, but then your team gets to do it again, taking on Mississippi State in the Dome. What's that mean to you?
It's special, man. You know, growing up in Louisiana, like, it's just playing, having a chance to play in the Superdome is special because anybody that has ever played football in Louisiana can relate to the statement. It's always been a dream to play in the Dome. Ever since you was growing up, you always dreamed about playing in the state championship in the Superdome on state championship weekend, the first weekend of December. You know, that's every kid's dream growing up in Louisiana. And, you know, by us having that opportunity to open up the season here and then having a chance to possibly close out our season in the same building, playing there twice in one season, that's special. So we know what's ahead of us. We just got to put in the work that's needed for it.
Your quarterback, Levi Lewis, where was he maybe this time last year, and where is he right now?
Right now, compared to last year, Levi is light years ahead of what he was. Light years ahead of what he was. He's always had that locked in mentality and laser focus about him, but this year and this summer, this spring, he's took it to a totally different level. And it benefits everybody. It benefits the offense when he's throwing the ball around that practice real good, and it's benefiting the defense too, because it's teaching those guys how to play the ball in the air and how to tighten up their coverage too at the same time.
We'll get you out of here with a fun one. I mentioned Levi because I wanted our listeners to hear how he's coming along at quarterback. I called as a broadcaster a couple of his basketball games when he was at Scotlandville.
Yeah.
That guy could play some basketball.
Yeah, he could hoop.
Who's the best hooper on your team?
The best hooper on the team. Well, I've heard that Mike Jacquet is really good in basketball. Like, I heard he's really, really good in basketball. But also, Deuce is, like, really, really good in basketball. Deuce has played a point guard. So, it's out of those two for me. Those two are the best two. I don't know who will win a game of one-on-one. That'll be a good game.
This is the most shocking takeaway I have from my interviews today. You're telling me there aren't pickup games from the UL football team playing basketball?
Of course. Of course we in bourgeois hooping. And I'm talking about really hooping. Like the whole team would be in there. And we'll have our squads of five. And we'll just be running all day until we get tired. Then we'll go home.
And then you get up and Tim Leger yells at you and you go run some more.
Yeah.
But then you get to pay off and you get to play football here in the Dome. Not too long from now. Like you said, hopefully twice this year.
Right.
Bam Jackson's been our guest. Bam, good luck this season.
Thank
Stay
you.
Healthy. Play well.
Thank you.
A lot of fun. great interviews today. Deuce Wallace first, Bam Jackson right there. And bam, just like that, we got to hit our first break. We'll be right back in. You're listening to a special edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
How much is too much to spend on facilities upgrade when you're, you know, an academic institution? Yeah, we're talking about that today. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Having a lot of fun, and trust me, we'll continue with the Fun Belt vibe. In about 13 minutes, Adam Hunsucker, the Monroe News star, will tickle your eardrums. But between now and then, yeah, we'll switch it over to the LSU football side of things. And yeah, they built an enormous, I would say, incredibly impressive, you could also, and some are saying, gaudy, training room. Don't even know what all to describe that complex now. But every football player has his own little recovery pod. This thing is palatial. I mean, it is good. But not everybody was on board with it. Again, maybe this should be filed under the category of Louisiana, this is why we can't have nice things. Or we can't even agree on having nice things. Yeah, I'll get to all that and more. But first, let me issue your daily reminder. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. Alex will be the one to put up your shades and awnings, while Todd mans the installation of your patio covers in those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the pros and the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up their patio game. And they could do it before the Super Bowl. They could do it before the new year. And all it takes to start is a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Eric Reed, former LSU football player, former San Francisco 49er, currently with the Carolina Panthers. And I have no problem telling you, one of the most cerebral players I ever covered coming out of Dutchtown High School. During his tenure at LSU, there was a reason that number one in purple and gold got trotted out to talk to the media, good, bad, or ugly, after games and after practice. What he has said today, though, has raised some eyebrows. He's throwing more than a little bit of shade. Eric Reed, in response to LSU doing all of these facility upgrades, first tweeted out, "There are folks who could use a scholarship more than our guys need a TV in their locker. Those who know me know the amount of love I have for LSU. This is too much, though." But he wasn't quite done there. And what's interesting next, I won't say that he went after our good friend Emily Dixon, Shay's wife, who also works for LSU football. E. Reed actually shouted her out and was fairly respectful, but he wanted to get back down to this point of his. And so he quote-tweeted Emily, letting people know about the renovations to LSU's football ops overhaul, the nutrition center, everything that came down the pipeline. Of course, completely funded by private donations through the Tiger Athletic Foundation. Here's what Eric Reed said in response to Emily letting the world know about these upgrades. "Hey, Emily, you interviewed me for a couple of years. Now can I ask you a question? Don't you find it interesting that we can convince people to donate millions to renovate a facility that doesn't need renovating? How many scholarships could have been given with the money used to renovate?" There's been so much debate about what's he talking about. Does he know what he's talking about? Is he donating himself? I'm not going to attack Eric Reed. Just don't believe in it. He's been a good guy to me for the entirety of our time overlapping with one another. But one thing that is clear is this. Anytime you build something like this, there will be those that want to either A, tear it down, B, point to it and say, why do you have all this? Why do you need all this? Why do you deserve all this? And then there's the obvious, right? Yes, it is privately donated to the Tiger Athletic Foundation. And yes, on an annual basis, they're one of the few entities of their kind around the country that turns around and cuts a check to the academic side. And that brings us to another interesting tentacle from all of this. Robert Mann, a professor at LSU, when he saw this on Twitter, his response, meanwhile, across campus, I vacuum my faculty office with a dust devil I bought at Walmart. Here's your shade of the week. It's Monday, but trust me, it's not going to get any better than this. Joe Burrow off the top rope, LSU's quarterback with the quote tweet, why, Professor, do you feel entitled to the fruits of our labor? Yow. So Joe Burrow already dishing out some contact, and it's not even August yet. So I know the news of the day seems to be good from the LSU football ops side, right? The nutrition center side. But there are those that don't like it. One of them played LSU football. The other is a professor at LSU. CD, why can't we all just get along?
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
We'd love to hear from YP, you people out there in listener land. While we have about 5 or 6 minutes in the segment, don't forget, less than 10 minutes from now, Adam Hunsucker of the Monroe News Star will join us live on Radio Row. But call us up. Let us know what you think about the facility upgrades. 706-0111. CD, while we wait, is it too much for you, or is it just, hey, this is the way you have to compete these days?
It's the way you have to compete these days, Ben, and when you just look at everything going on right now, I mean, we look all across the country, especially with these Power 5 schools. LSU is the latest example in that. If I'm not mistaken, doesn't Alabama have a waterfall? What's kind of the point of that? It's definitely a big thing that you point at. Be like, hey, come over here to see this waterfall. At least when it comes to the TVs or the iPads or whatever it is, this could wind up helping them out in terms of improving on the field because they can have the film right there readily available. It's not like they have a cable TV with 700 channels on it. It's probably largely just to use in terms of film.
Clint, do you know what's better than keeping up with the Joneses?
What's that? Being the Joneses?
Being the freaking Joneses. Absolutely. You and I have been doing this show together for too many years and hanging out too often. Yes! Anytime you can set the standard, you should. No, this is not taxpayers' money. Yes, this is the Tiger Athletic Foundation privately raising funds. And yes, I understand that it could well come at the expense for the other fundraising branches of LSU doing their thing. And as somebody that in his everyday line of work is tied to the revenue, do you know what my response to that is? Boo flipping who? I mean, everybody's got to go out and get theirs. And so what are you going to tell me? That because the people that are raising funds for football and athletics are targeting the same people that the Alumni Association is going after, that the academic fundraising arm is going after, that it's not right, that they're cheating, that they're floating the sexy thing out there? No, that's not it. And, oh, by the way, do you know who privately donated these funds to the Tiger Athletic Foundation? Some guy named Tyrann Mathieu and some guy named Patrick Peterson. Come on now. I mean, they can afford it. And so is the point supposed to be that if they're donating to the football program and team, if they're not going to donate to the academic side, these guys donate what they're passionate about, what they feel like they maybe owe some of their success to. And that's the same with any walk of life. And so I've seen some rhetoric today that just floors me. And I don't want to make it a completely political thing, but good night. It just blows my mind. And so, Eric Reed, I got nothing but respect for you. I don't know that I agree with you on this side of things, but Eric Reed's wanting to know how many kids could have gotten scholarships that aren't going to play football, aren't going to play basketball, aren't part of the gymnastics team. I know what E. Reed probably means. How many kids that are having to rack up tens of thousands of dollars of student loan debt maybe could have gotten in instead of LSU having the nicest things? Well, you know, again, as somebody who lived in Baton Rouge for his entire formative life, the financials of that city can sway drastically based on the success of LSU's athletic program and football team. It's a fact. And so if it rains there, I would just suggest to E. Reed and everybody else, trust me, it'll start to drizzle everywhere else. That's all I'm going to say on that subject. Having a lot of fun today at the Sunbelt Football Media Day. Already, you've heard from the head coaches of both in-state schools here in Louisiana. Matt Viator first, Billy Napier second, Deuce Wallace, and then Bam Jackson amongst the best student interviews that we've had here doing this program now. I think this is my fourth year here. I counted recently. I think those were two of the best student-athlete interviews we've had since we've been coming to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. But don't forget, Adam Huntsucker on the other side of this break, and then new Sunbelt commish, Keith Gill, at 6:15. Our special show today is brought to you in part by Pete's on Johnston. Yes, you can, and yes, you should. Go book your fantasy football draft parties. I've done them at Pete's before. I'll be doing them at Pete's again this year. They're awesome. There's so much that you really just not going to get everywhere else, including now a $5 Uber credit. They want to send you home safe, too. Just make sure you go and book. You can go to PetesLafayette.com/fantasy. All right, we're halfway home in the 5 o'clock hour. Adam Huntsucker, when we return, when North meets South, at least in Louisiana. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Yeah, do yourself a favor. Just don't miss this next interview. Then you won't have to listen to Homer Simpson and heed his advice. That'd be good for everyone. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back out to New Orleans, inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome for Sunbelt Football Media Day 2019. Glad to have you as we take you home on 103.7 The Game. Our next guest, I love doing this every year, man, Adam Huntsucker, the Monroe News Star, here live on Radio Row. Are you rested, relaxed, and ready to roll?
I suppose. No, this is your tradition. You're always the last man standing. You know, this is my what? Let's see, oh, 15, 16, 17. This is my fifth Sunbelt Media Day, and this is the first time I've been the last man standing, so I guess it's just thank you for that.
It feels like you're standing kind of on the precipice, like you're on a cliff. You're just wanting to know if some worker here or maybe like a watchman, a police officer, is going to push you off or not and say, get out of my facility.
Well, that's Ben's very eloquent way of saying we're getting mean mugged as we do this right now.
I don't know if it was eloquent, but I appreciate you saying that. All right, let's get down to business. New commissioner this year. Your impressions so far, I'll have him aboard in about 40 minutes, but Keith Gill, he's got big shoes to fill. One thing I would note, get your opinion on this too, Carl Benson went through a lot of turmoil, not necessarily that he created, right, but schools in, schools out, getting to the conference championship game. I would say that maybe by comparison, Gill is standing on the shoulders of giants a bit.
That's a good way to put it. I mean, this thing is kind of set up for him to just take this thing and run with it when you look at it, because you're right, Carl had a lot to deal with. I mean, you come in and he's on the job maybe a year, and then it's bye to Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee and North Texas and the Florida schools. They go to Conference USA. And, you know, when you look at this whole saga of realignment, I thought Carl made a really shrewd decision when he decided, you know, maybe this deal with markets is overrated if you can't control said market, like Florida International, Florida Atlantic, hell, even North Texas up until recently. And even then, not sure how much people in Dallas really care about North Texas. But he said, you know what, I'm going to go out and get the two best football programs I can find. And there were Georgia Southern, and there of Appalachian State, and that has tenfold been an outstanding decision on his part. So from the football side of things, you know, Keith has said, I mean, he's got a basketball background, which might be good considering we've got this whole scheduling thing in the Sun Belt we're trying to get our heads wrapped around. That's, you know, just my honest opinion, I think this is kind of all for nothing as far as the scheduling goes with what they're trying to do. But you know, it was interesting to see Keith for the first time, hear him talk. He seems more – this isn't a word, but he comes off more commissionary to me. He's not like Carl. Carl would just get to the podium and just hold court, and you saw Quirky Carl doing all his things.
Sunbelt Media Day felt like you interrupted Carl from being in flip-flops on somebody's, like, you know, back patio.
Oh, exactly. Just telling jokes, having a good time, holding court. And, you know, Keith's a little different. He's got the filibuster thing figured out already. That was kind of obvious. But, you know, I'm curious how this is going to go. And, you know, looking forward to getting to know the guy. And, I mean, there's only one Carl, so I don't know kind of what we expected. But let's just say it was a little different.
Last year, App State, UL, the inaugural conference championship game over in Boone, and I believe those two picked again in the preseason to represent
right.
The two divisions. Do you see it unfolding that way, and maybe the biggest challengers?
You know, I haven't done. You know, I'm not gonna give it away because I still want you all to go and read my Who's Gonna Win the Sunbelt column, which will be coming out soon at thenewstar.com. But I don't.
Okay.
I think you look at Appalachian State first. You know, the big deal, you're talking about them and Troy. They both changed coaches. But the difference is, you know, when Troy hired Chip Lindsey, there's still a little continuity within the system because Chip comes off that air raid tree like Neil Brown did.
So, and he's been at Troy.
And he's been at Troy before. And really the systems on offense and defense are really not changing that much. I mean, they're keeping a lot of things they were doing before intact, where you look at Eli Drinkwitz at Appalachian State, we started from scratch. I mean, you put in a new system, new concepts. I mean, a lot of the plays I'm sure will look the same and the pass concepts will be the same, but it's like learning a new language. And, you know, I'm really interested to see how that goes because, you know, I wrote it in a preview column for Sunbelt Media Day, but it's like, here you go. You got the keys to the good car. Now don't screw it up. You got to keep it on the road. And that's going to be what he has to do. As far as the West goes, you know, it's going to come down to Arkansas State and the Cajuns, I believe, just like it did last year. ULM made things interesting for a little bit before losing those two games at the end of the year, and I want to see how the Cajuns handle going from the hunter to the hunted. I mean, when you pick your finish fourth in the division, you turn around winning, you're not going to sneak up on anybody again, and you know they've got so they're going to have to take everybody's best shot, and you know. Levi Lewis is going to be the starter now. You know, how has he progressed over a year, and how can he handle that role? I mean, I remember watching him in high school. Skylinville came up and played Washita one year. Kid absolutely balled, so we know he's got the talent. And then, you know, they take another step forward on defense, eliminate some of those big plays and stuff that, you know, because that was kind of the interesting thing about that team. It made them fun to watch last year. They were so dominated on both sides of the ball by big plays, either making them or giving it up, and whichever one it was usually. That's whether they won the game or not.
Wow, yeah, that's exactly what it was. Cajun fans right now are saying, yes, that reminds me of 2018. I think they're hoping that's not what 2019 is. And that leads me to my next question. Adam Huntsucker, our guest, talking Sunbelt football on 103.7 The Game. I always get a kick out of when I tell my uncle, and he and I have been talking shop on football since I was knee-high. Every time I tell him I'm coming to Sunbelt Media Day, he said, that's the fun belt, right? That's the conference with a lot of offense, right?
Indeed.
He tells me the same thing every single time I'm coming. He's like, who's the team with the best defense? Because they're going to win the conference. So I'll ask you, what's the best defense in the Sun Belt this year?
Mm. Who's the best defense or who has the best players? Because I think that might be two separate things.
Let's go both. Good point.
You know, depending on how much changes, I still think Appalachian State could have the best defense. And if they're staying in the 3-4 and you know, being productive with that. As far as who's got the best player, it's Arkansas State. I mean, they most years they're going to have the best players on both sides of the ball, which it's kind of was interesting to follow them last year. I'm still kind of wrapping my head around this, how you have the Sun Belt Player of the Year, the Defensive Player of the Year, the Freshman of the Year, and the Newcomer of the Year, and you don't win your division, which is probably why they have six new assistant coaches.
You know, I got the chance to speak earlier today with Blake Anderson. I didn't ask him that question. Six new assistants.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one way to keep your job, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they turned that thing over. I mean, he fired the offensive coordinator and a couple other offensive assistants. Joe Cawthon, the defensive coordinator, him and the D line coach left and went to Houston with Dana Holgerson. So, and I asked him, and he was, you know, he was very, very diplomatic in his response. But I mean, yeah. I mean, you just put two and two together. You have all that going for you, and you don't win the West. There's going to be some changes because. Because On the Low was fun to follow because I do a lot of radio in Jonesboro. They were not happy.
Oh, no.
Not one bit.
No, not even a little bit. As we come down the stretch here, I love looking at the composite schedule. All right, if I'm missing one, fill me in. Last year, Nebraska got beat by one of the Sun Belt teams.
Troy.
Thank you. The year before, some team in Baton Rouge. Yeah, LSU got beat by Troy.
Yeah, got manhandled on the line of scrimmage.
That's right. Mississippi State is going down to South Al. So we've seen some of these take down the Giants, right? ULM beat Arkansas. That hasn't been that far in the rear view.
Mm-hmm, the Colton Browning game. We
who's
remember
going,
it well.
Who's going down this year? When you look at some of the opportunities from around the Sun Belt, Cajuns fans are going to hope you're about to say Mississippi State there in like 6 weeks, but I think that's a tall order.
It's a tall order, but, I mean, it wouldn't be shocking, I don't think. You look at it. All those players Mississippi State lost on defense. I mean, and you know, Keaton Thompson's played some.
I'd say, have you ever seen that kid before?
I watched him dismantle West Monroe in the dome. It's probably the most impressive one man show I've ever seen.
And all the high school coaches that know anything in this state said the only one we saw that was even close to him was Ryan Perilou.
Yeah, and Perilou was before my time, so I couldn't offer an opinion either there, but. You know, it was pretty impressive. So, I mean, that might be one if there is to get one. Another one, App State, North Carolina, could be interesting.
Where's that one at?
It's in Chapel Hill.
Okay, all right.
But Mack Brown coming in. Folks have kind of how their doubts on that whole thing's going to work, and I do too just because of the staff he's put together with the coaches I talked to. So maybe the Mountaineers are more well put together by this point. But
Betters, you just heard what he said. Go ahead and put it in early. Go drive. Well, you can't do it in Louisiana. Go drive over to Biloxi and figure that out.
Well, also this may not be popular on your show, but I think Georgia Southern could put a scare into LSU for a couple quarters.
Because it's the first game of the year, because of the style of play,
both. I mean, it's the first game of the year, and LSU is going to see something on offense they will never see again. And when you're in that kind of a situation, that's how problems happen.
And LSU plays Texas week two in Austin.
That too.
That's interesting. All right, so a couple of options there for maybe the biggest upset. Hey, before we let you go, we had a chat earlier with Matt Viator. Your look at these Warhawks, 6-6 a year ago, do they feel about the same to you or different one way or the other?
I think they feel about the same. I think, you know, right now I would probably set the over and under on 5-7, but I could see that thing going either way, and I think probably a handful of plays will determine whether they're on the high end or the low end. But I'm a little bit higher on this football team than I feel like others are. I mean, I've seen, you know, just being on the ground floor and watching Matt rebuild this thing. You know, it's not like it was when he got here, when it was just in shambles. Like, if you look up and down that roster, these are Sun Belt caliber players. And you got a quarterback like Caleb Evans. He was picked second team all Sun Belt by the coaches. And, you know, having a quarterback like that definitely helps. And I think they've got some stuff to sort out at wide receiver after R.J. Turner transferred to Texas Tech. But you've got 4 or 5 starters back on the offensive line and a load of guys back on defense. And I think that'll be the biggest key is if they're consistent on defense, because you look at their 6 wins, they're allowing like 20 points a game. Their 6 losses, it's about 43 points a game. So getting a complete season out of those guys, and I think this team could push and get to a bowl.
Cajuns host the Warhawks November 30th. My friend, let's talk again before Thanksgiving week.
Absolutely.
Adam Hunsucker with the Monroe News Star. We got to shut it down for a few minutes. We'll be right back in. Talk a little bit about Chris Jackson now, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, and some big news from LSU on the basketball front with him today and that jersey number. You're listening to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back out to New Orleans on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
A shade less than 10 minutes until 6 o'clock. Back in, we are the sole survivor. The last, well, I would say men. Clint's back in Lafayette. I'm the last man standing on Radio Row. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports back at the 2019 Sun Belt Football Media Day. On 103.7 The Game, we're going to talk a little bit about Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf and his number 35 jersey retired for LSU basketball. I have a few thoughts there, but momentarily, I want to remind all the men listening, specifically men 18+, there's a great local event coming to Lafayette Saturday, August the 10th. It's the 7th Biennial Man-to-Man Catholic Men's Conference, and it's coming to Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church. This is an event for men of all faith and that want to attend for all reasons. The reality is it's an invitation to heal. A delicious jambalaya lunch will be served, and you'll enjoy the surfing father. Seriously, that's what they call the keynote speaker, Father Donald Calloway, and he's one of several speakers at the event. So make your plans now before we get too busy with school and football season. Men, huddle up within yourself and regroup at the 2019 Man-to-Man Catholic Men's Conference. Register today, and you better hurry before the event sells out. M2M2019.com, the website to register, M2M2019.com. Tickets are still available but scarce to the 2019 Man-to-Man Catholic Men's Conference at Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church coming Saturday, August the 10th. Men in Acadiana, this is your invitation. You'll be glad you came. Again, one final time, the website to register is M2M2019.com. Let's get to the news, then I'll offer an opinion. Chris Jackson, now Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, will have his number 35 jersey retired by the LSU Athletic Hall of Fame Election Board. This, according to the school earlier today, the jersey will be retired at a game day ceremony during this coming basketball season. The date has not yet been announced. He joins a pretty selective group. The other jerseys currently hanging in the rafters, and we'll go in order of their playing days. Bob Pettit's number 50. Yeah, let's see. Pete Maravich's number 23. Rudy Macklin's number 40. And Shaq's number 33. So chronologically, he is not the most recent member of this group. That would be Shaq, although they had a very, very brief overlap. But what's interesting here is this. I can tell you that this has been a conversation I've had with, I always tell you this, you're probably getting tired of hearing it, people in my basketball circle. It's the only way I know how to put it. My centers of basketball influence, especially those with LSU ties, and some of them with very deep and strong LSU ties, there was doubt about whether or not this would ever happen. Okay? And I think the thought process was that it was at least somewhat political. And Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, at the end of his NBA tenure and his playing days, had a game that informed and predated Steph Curry. Don't at me. Don't question me. Just go Google it. Go to YouTube. And again, for me, this was my very, very early, formidable basketball watching days. This was childhood for me. Those listening that were old enough to go to those games, to be full-grown and full-blown adults of that game, especially those that were in college and attending LSU during those days, will tell you that the man was the human torch shooting the basketball from anywhere. And some of the stories that have been told on this show are just the best about then Chris Jackson. He was shooting inside the dungeon, the old practice gym, before this state-of-the-art one that they erected some, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago. And during the earthquake game, Chris Jackson reportedly heard people going nuts, didn't know what it was, just figured that they understood what was going on inside the dungeon, that he was giving buckets to people. So that's a shortened version of the story. But he's one of the best to ever do it for LSU. There's no question that all things equal, this damn sure should have happened and probably should have happened a while ago. Again, I'm going to suggest that there were some political things that maybe stopped this from happening a little sooner. The other thing that nobody has told me, again, I've been in New Orleans all day long. Haven't been on the cell phone talking to, texting, or emailing LSU types. I've been covering UL and immersing myself in the Sun Belt culture. But do you think Scott Woodward, as the new AD, might have had something to do with this? A guy who, oh, by the way, probably remembers the Chris Jackson era very well. Do you think it's a coincidence that Scott Woodward is hired and less than, I don't know, whatever it is, 3 or 4 months later, this gets crossed off the to-do list? So I think it was sometime coming, but I think there were a number of people who maybe didn't want it to happen. That's all I'm going to tell you. We live in a state where these things aren't always cut and dry, and they're not always easy to explain because they're very passionately debated by people on both sides of the aisle. But just from a strictly basketball sense, this was the right move. And I'm glad it happened, again, strictly from a basketball sense. The other stuff, frankly, in my opinion, shouldn't matter when it comes to this. So I'm glad that his number 35 will be hanging from the rafters. I've seen questions. Will the jersey say Abdul-Rauf or Jackson? I don't know. But maybe after today's program is over in New Orleans, I'll put a text in. We'll see if we can't get you an answer to that question by the end of the day tomorrow. But very interesting, a fifth jersey will hang from the rafters, at least on the men's side. I should add that everybody I just mentioned, these are on the men's side. Clint, shame on me. I've covered 1,000,001 games in the PMAC, and I can't remember the women's jerseys that may be retired, but there is just no chance on God's green earth that Simone Augustus and Sylvia Fowles don't have jerseys retired. And if it is, if they don't, rather, it's because there's a waiting period that has not elapsed yet, but they were just unbelievable. So we'll look that up in the break. I'll have an answer for you when we return. About another half hour to go before Astros baseball. Keith Gill, new Sun Belt commissioner, joins us at 6:15. One final reminder that I'll issue before we hit our hour break. There's so much great content right now at the website. Go to 1037thegame.com. Speaking of the new commish, we've got a story up on him. We'll have a story sooner than later with words and all kind of goodies from Deuce Wallace and Bam Jackson, Cajuns players that were here in New Orleans today. That and a lot more Sun Belt Media Day 2019 coverage. So stick with us. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Live from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, where hopefully they won't kick us out so I can finish on 103.7 The Game.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is KLW.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now
let's get started.
Right back at it. Another half hour to go. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports live from New Orleans. The Mercedes-Benz Superdome, to be exact. The home of Sun Belt Football Media Days every single year. And this year, no different. Glad to have you back on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love out here in the Big Easy. The famous Clint D. Inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. And in about 11 minutes, that's pretty precise, we'll have an interview with Keith Gill, new commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference. Then we get you ready for Astros baseball on a Monday night. Astro launch at 6:35, first pitch at 7:10. I'd love to do a bit of a daily recap right now from everything that we've seen. And Clint, I'll get you involved here. What's intrigued you the most? New commissioner, Keith Gill, four new head coaches, all of them with an offensive slant. And again, that's Chip Lindsey at Troy, Eli Drinkwitz at App State, Jamie Chadwell at Coastal Carolina, Jake Spavital at Texas State. What's been the most intriguing thing for you? Because I'll tell you, if you try to manufacture drama for this event, you got to try a little bit harder. There hadn't been a ton this year. It feels like a group that's, well, pretty happy to be stable.
And that was one of the big things that we talked about last year as well. There was a lot of stability where things seemed to be in place for the long term. The thing I'm most interested in, it has to be without a doubt, the new commissioner, Keith Gill, because we talk about it all the time, how it feels like when you look at kind of the landscape of the group of five. Of course, whenever, like, in comparison's sake, the SEC is perceived as the top dog. The perception of the Sun Belt is that it's very much towards the middle of the pack when it comes to these group of five conferences like the AAC or the Conference USA. I'm interested to see what, because we're going to talk to him in a few minutes anyway, so I'm interested to see what he's going to wind up saying when it comes to trying to develop this mentality of a big dog, if you will, to be able to become like what we're seeing with the American Athletic Conference, where they've touted themselves as being the Power Six, quote unquote. I would love to hear his thoughts on that.
You know, one path that I intentionally didn't go down, and I guess an example for me that's been made too many times when you come to this event, and it happens every single year, how do you become the Boise State? How do you become the next Boise State? Seriously, it's all you hear. How do you break through that glass ceiling? How do you have your moment where you're playing Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl and you're running that Statue of Liberty play and, yeah, you win the big game. The guy proposes to his girlfriend. We all remember. How do you do that? It's tough. Part of it is scheduling. You have to have the opportunity, like Troy did 2 years ago, to beat LSU and then make good on it. Cajuns have a similar opportunity, maybe not quite to the same degree, taking on Mississippi State. I mean, basically right where I'm looking right now in the dome. Difference between those two games, well, I think LSU that year is better than Mississippi State this year, but more importantly, away game for Troy at Baton Rouge. This one's a neutral sider. So you have to have the right type of scheduling, and that's been a big topic of conversation here. It always is for this event. You have to have the right team that can win every game inside of the division, and you have to take care of at least three out of the four non-conference games. But what's going to help everyone is now you've got the opportunity, at least for the second year, of a conference title game. So there are a lot of things that have to fall your way. But one thing that I do want to talk with Commissioner Gill about, and trust me, we will here in about 5 minutes, maybe a little less than five, how do you find a way to get some of these teams preseason ranked? Because, Clint, as much as it sucks to admit it, that's the truth. It helps Alabama and Clemson that they're starting at the top because if they stumble, they don't move that far down. That same stigma exists even if you're not trying to get into the first four, right? The top four and get into the playoffs. That same stigma exists if you want to get into a New Year's Six Bowl, right? And Central Florida's had the opportunity two straight years now. They've broken through their version of it. So if anybody's becoming the next Boise State, currently it's Central Florida. But they had an undefeated regular season last year, and then they beat Auburn. They got their shot, they took it, and they made it. That's what the Sun Belt Conference is trying to do. Now, what would be so cool, what I'm more interested in, is how do you have multiple teams do it? That's one thing we haven't seen yet, Clint, right? I mean, for all the brilliance of individual years of Boise State or UCF or UH, talking about Houston, Tulane had an undefeated season. I know that was during the BCS era, but, you know, I'm in New Orleans. It happened. Shout out New Orleans. How do you do that with a G5 conference? And, Clint, to your point, kind of bill yourself then as one of the P6. I know. It's going to take quite some time. Sun Belt hasn't had one team do it, much less two. But how do you have App State do it and then UL do it? Now, part of the difficulty in this conference of accomplishing it with one team, much less two, how do you get the head coach to stick around? That's part of the reason that there are four new head coaches this year in the league. At least that's the reason there are two of them. No disrespect to Coastal Carolina, where the head coach stepped down, Joe Moglia. Texas State, obviously, they had performance problems. That's why they have a new head coach. But Troy, App State, their guys are now P5 head coaches. Scott Satterfield, Neil Brown. They backfield because they had to. If you're going to do what Boise State did, it helps to have Chris Peterson stay as long as he did in the land of potatoes. So that's just something else to think about. But there certainly was a lot of stability, continuity, even with new head coaches and a new commish. That, to me, was the theme of today. They're on level ground. They've got a chance to build from here. And so, again, these are my two cents. Clint chimed in with some of his. The most important guy in the room, he'll talk to us about it on the other side of our upcoming break. Keith Gill, he's the sixth commissioner in the history of the Sun Belt Conference. Oh, by the way, he's the first African-American commissioner as well. So this guy already carries a lot of weight into this job, and I think he'll tell you on the other side some of the things he's most looking forward to when it comes to carrying the torch in this conference. He's not transforming things. That's happened before him. How does he move it forward and move it upward? Our special edition of B2BS today is brought to you in part by Pete Sorn Johnston and the fantasy football draft parties. They're being booked right now. I had a friend text me earlier, and he said, can I please get that website again? I hear everything you're talking about. I want to go there. They've got all those goodies that we hear about in the commercial. How do I get in there? It really, really is simple. Just make sure that you go to the website, PeteLafayette.com/fantasy. All right, we're coming back in, getting you ready for Astros baseball. With the little chat, the commish joins us when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, and online at 103.7thegame.com.
Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Follow. Frank and Frank. Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
A great day. Anytime you get down to the Big Easy, we're going to finish up maybe with our best guest. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on 103.7 The Game all day long. You've been hearing from Cajuns players, Cajuns head coach Billy Napier, ULM head coach Matt Viator. We just got a little North Louisiana analysis from Adam Hunsucker. Let's go straight to the top, though, and it's our first time speaking with this man. Our pleasure to bring in the sixth commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference, Keith Gill, and congratulations. I know March 19 was officially the first day, so you've had the job for a while now. How's it been? Heavyweights the crown?
Yeah, no, exactly. Now, May 1st was actually my first day, so I got hired in March, but I actually didn't start till May, so I'm a little over 2 months in, but it's great. You know, first media day has been great, lots of energy. People are excited about Sun Belt football, and I'm just excited about the football season started. I can't wait to see all our great teams play a little football.
This is our station's fourth year here, and okay, the specter of this thing continues to grow. I'll ask you this. As you take the baton from Carl Benson, assess what you've taken over, first from a football standpoint and then maybe holistically.
Yeah, I think when you think about Wright Waters and Carl Benson, the two commissioners before me, our presidents, chancellors, and ADs, I'm taking over a conference that's in great shape. You know, our football is in a really good spot. I think, trying to tell our story a little better will be something we try to do, just because I don't know if as many people as should know how great a football product we have here in the Sun Belt, so that's really important. We're going to work, obviously, to keep improving our basketball, both men's and women's. That's an important piece of it. But and then keep developing our student-athletes. You know, at the end of the day, the reason why we're here is trying to give students great opportunities, both at education and competitive opportunities, and so that's an important piece as well.
All right, so you mentioned May 1 was your first day,
yeah,
and since then you've set out on improving academic profile really within, mm-hmm, and then externally some of the strength and the branding around the country,
right,
and you just alluded to that. Why is that so important, and how are you setting about doing that on both fronts?
You know, I think it's important on the academic piece just because I think that people need to understand this is higher education, and our first mission really is to help prepare and graduate our students for kind of life after college. That's our number one mission. That's really what we're trying to do. But I also think competitively we want to get after it as well. That's an important piece. And I think the branding piece is important because we have great football here in the Sun Belt Conference. And for us to achieve our goal at the end of the day, you know, we want to be at some point the highest ranked group of five champions that we can play in a New Year's Six Bowl. You know, we're going to need to be preseason ranked. We're going to need to be ranked at the end of the season so we can get higher in the next season's preseason ranked. And we need multiple teams to do that. And I think a little bit of branding will help us because I think our teams are good enough to have multiple teams ranked. It's just that we're not always getting that respect. And I think if people know a little bit more about us, that respect will come.
Keith Gill, our guest, he's the commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference. And in your last role with the Atlantic 10, one of the things that I know that you kind of had dominion over was digital and TV broadcast strategy. How does that inform maybe some things you'd like to put in place here?
Yeah, you know, it's great because we had we worked with ESPN and ESPN Plus in the Atlantic 10. And so I think it helps just kind of understand what the opportunities are, what the platform looks like, how it works, where's their ad inventory, where are there opportunities for us to brand and talk about the Sun Belt. So I think it's going to help us in terms of trying to just refine those broadcasts in a way to make them as close to linear broadcast as we can. We want that really to be the look and feel of ESPN from a digital standpoint for our fans, but also making sure that we take the opportunities that we have to deliver our messages and give out good points about the Sun Belt. That branding piece will be important in everything we do.
Of course, something else that you were intimately involved in was men's basketball. And I'm curious, I guess, what things did you take away from that experience, a very rich conference, the Atlantic 10 in men's basketball, that you can bring here, and not just for the men's side, but maybe on the women's side of the ledger, too, for the Sun Belt?
Yeah, I think the importance of data and analytics in the basketball space is really important. So trying to find the trends in the scheduling, who you play, how many quad one wins you need, how many quad two wins you need, how you get them, I think that's really important. We worked on a couple of conference-wide scheduling deals just as I was leaving the A-10 that we were able to finish up, and I think trying to create some of those here in the Sun Belt, I think, is will be important for our basketball standpoint. You know, one of the things we're talking about is maybe looking at developing an MTE, a multi-team event in basketball. And so, you know, that would be something else that, you know, can help us from a scheduling standpoint. So, you know, trying to get as many home games and good games for our Sun Belt teams, I think, is a good start. I think we've got a lot to learn about the net. We only have 1 year worth of data, so we've got some things to figure out. We knew the RPI a little better, but, you know, over time we'll figure out the net, and that will help kind of inform our strategy as to what we should be doing.
Hypothetically, how would an MTE, a multi-team event, work?
You know what? So it depends. You know, it could be two game or three games, so depending on how you do. So if you want to have four teams or eight teams. But what it does is, you know, you can only have one team per conference, so there would only be one Sun Belt team in there. But you could create scenarios where you had good games for them, you know.
Visibility.
Yeah, because you'd get one team from each of the conferences that you want to play, and that would allow you on a neutral site to play those games, where some of those teams wouldn't play at home, but they would play, you know, our teams kind of on a neutral site. So creating a neutral site opportunity for Sun Belt teams to get games, I think, can be an important part of our basketball strategy.
We'll flip it back over to football. This time a year ago, your predecessor sat in that chair, and we were looking forward to the first ever conference championship game.
Right.
I guess some of the returns from that, from your chair now, and then is there still a plan to have that be a neutral site game down the line? If so, a date?
Yeah. So, you know, I'll answer the last question first. Okay. I mean, I think right now it's great on campus. And, you know, we've got to see how it matures before, you know, we should really be thinking about kind of a neutral site. So I think that any kind of changes in the on-campus aspect of it are going to be, you know, probably in the distant future, you know, until we see how it matures. I think the returns were great. I think anytime you give students the opportunity to play for a championship, you know, that's the beauty of a conference. You know, if you're involved in a conference, you always get to compete for a championship. And I think the conference tournament is a great culmination of that. One of the great things about Media Day is looking at the MVP belt. You know, it's got kind of like a WWE-type belt for the MVP. I mean, I think that's the coolest thing ever. I was like, I want to win one of those myself. So I think we've had rave reviews. I mean, it was great coming right off of game day. I mean, to be that football game right off of game day in that 11 o'clock central slot is always a good thing. And so we're excited about year two. We think we can build on what we started in year one and have it even be better.
Coming down the stretch with Commissioner Keith Gill on 103.7 The Game. We're still live from Sun Belt Conference Media Day in New Orleans. The bowl situation, I guess your analysis of where that is now. I know last year, just for example, ULM, a 6-6 team on the outside looking in. Are these things that the conference is working to improve upon, or sometimes, you know, you just can't fit everybody, especially if you're in the group of five? How do you look at it?
Yeah, you know, I think more than one thing can be true. I think both of the things you said are true. You know, at the end of the day, sometimes you can't always fit everyone in, but we're going to try. You know, we've got five bowl tie-ins, but if we have six bowl-eligible teams, we're going to try to find some alternative places for them to go because it's important. Bowl games are important. It's a great reward for the institution, great reward for the students and for the community as well. So, but sometimes it doesn't always work out, and those things are hard. But as a conference, you just have to know that we are fighting tooth and nail to make sure that every bowl eligible team that we have in the Sun Belt has a place to go for postseason.
Two stints you had working at the NC2A National Office.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh, it was great. You know, the NCAA is where I got my start. You know, when I left Duke, I was an intern at the NCAA, and I did that for about 7 months, and then I got hired on full-time there. I've got a rules compliance background at the NCAA, and that's really where I learned how to be a professional. That's where I understood, like, legislation, understood how the governance process works, things that will help me as we work through issues in the Sun Belt, because I know the NCAA system. I know the structure, whether it's I know people and have connections and those kind of things to kind of get answers that will be helpful. So it was a great time. I mean, I have nothing but good things to say about the NCAA, the national office, the staff, and all of the good work that they do.
I think you just brought full circle a lot of this conversation. Our listeners are saying, okay, he's stressing academics, but also the athletic profile. Then they find out that you play football at Duke, so the best of all worlds there.
Yeah, you know, Duke was a special place, and I learned a lot. And actually, the inspiration for me getting into college athletics is really Duke. You know, I had such a wonderful experience. I just thought it would be a gift if I had the opportunity to provide or try to provide those types of experiences for others. And that's what's great about the Sun Belt is the Sun Belt is, you know, they're doing great things for students every day, and to get to be a part of helping do that is just an honor.
We'll get you out of here with this one. Our community in Lafayette grew very fond, obviously, of the former commissioner, both of the last ones that you mentioned. But
yeah.
What will you take away from Carl Benson, and what has he left you with that you'll use going forward?
Yeah, you know, I would say two things. I would say one is just kindness. Carl has been really good to me in this transition. He's been really helpful, takes my calls, gives me advice, gives me insight, and I don't know that you always get that. You know, sometimes people are trying to protect their legacy, and, you know, if I don't do well, maybe that's better for his legacy, and that's not Carl at all. He's been really good and really supportive, and he's had a great vision. You know, I think that's Carl and Wright. You know, Wright had the vision to start football and make this conference a football conference, you know, 19 years ago, and Carl had – you know, he came in at a tough time in terms of league membership and hit the ground running, shored up the league membership, expanded our bowls. And so when you think about both of those folks, they had great vision, great execution, did great things for us. And then I would add with Carl, and it is just, you know, he's been very kind to me in the transition, and I'm really appreciative of that.
Grateful for the time we spent with you today.
Yeah,
with any luck,
you.
We'll be doing this for years to come. Good luck in year number one. We'll be seeing you on the football field soon.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. So good to be with you.
Awesome. I mean, really enjoyed that. Keith Gill, the sixth commissioner ever in this Sun Belt Conference. He's looking forward not only to football, he's got basketball top of mind, spent a lot of time there. I think as he just informed you with the A-10, but some other things as well, right? The academic profile, some of the things from a branding standpoint, getting some synergy on the TV side, and the things they want to do, maybe even with multi-team events. Always good when you can go straight to the top. We just did that with Keith Gill. All right, we have been awfully busy today. Clint and I, not done yet. We've got a World's Shortest Segment audition that's coming up. Then we get you ready for the Astros on a Monday night. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back out to the 2019 Sun Belt Conference Football Media Day. And it's a special edition of B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. And 103.7thegame.com.